This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Top of the hour, it is VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross right here at the Mint Gaming Hall in Franklin, Kentucky. There's our closer, Jensen, who is back home in Cleveland, Ohio. How was the weekend, my man? I know we're getting closer and closer to football season. We know that. You got out there, you hit the links. You don't have to give us a score. Just give me a quick update on the swing, ball control. How did you feel out there?
Well, in true closer form, David, I don't start well ever in any golf round, but boy, can I finish strong. And that isn't that the thing in golf too, where like your last couple of holes are your best and that's how they keep Absolutely. You coming back around. So the final hole, Dave, is right into the clubhouse with where the pool and the day beds and cabanas are all situated overlooking it. And so I drove to within about 60 yards of the hole. My buddy Brian, Michelle's brother-in-law, I wanted to rename him Seve Doyle. His last name is Doyle, so in honor of Seve Ballesteros. He had this chip from high on the hill, very fast green there on 18 to finish, just filleted it to right within about 4 feet for a nice par to finish. Woo. So it was an excellent up and down. That allowed the 19th hole, Dave, which is traditionally our best hole, to be very much under par. No question about it.
Man, you par 18, that beer is going to taste even better, a little colder when you get there. That's perfect way to get to that 19th hole. I got a lot to get to here. Marty Herney's going to join the program in this hour. You know we're close to football. We got Marty back on a Monday. Can't wait for that. And Peter Apple's going to join the program as well before we say goodbye to see what he thinks we might be in store here. The trade deadline is 6 p.m. Eastern tonight in Major League Baseball. But that's where it began, because the big bombshell already dropped over the weekend, and that's where we begin our highlights and headlines.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
In the end, it's not a surprise that Tarek Skubal is a member of the Dodgers. We kind of thought that's what was going to happen all along. I guess the disappointment would be that after you see the haul, and put that up in air quotes, that Detroit got back, that the other teams, Jensen, didn't give more or bid more to get Skubal away from the Dodgers. So we'll find out what hope Ryan and Smith become, but we know what Skubal is, and now they've just vaulted up odds on to win the pennant in the National League.
Yep, and kind of the destination I think most of the industry thought would be the final one there for Tarek Skubal once this deadline passes at 6 o'clock Eastern tonight. So it's not a bettable number per se as far as the future price goes for me, Dave, but I think the better exercise is for people now on the National League side is to try and forecast out which team you think can get to that National League Championship Series. And it's still not a foregone conclusion that the Dodgers, even if they got that buy into the division series, will just cascade right through into the NLCS. But they've certainly positioned themselves now. And I think this also, Dave, for what it's worth, we've talked a lot about the Shohei Ohtani knee inflammation, the indefinite timeline of him getting back on the mound. This allows them even more patience to be able to get Ohtani 100% right before the end of the regular season, if indeed he's going to come back and be a starter. But this Tarek Skubal acquisition relieves the pressure on the rotational need for Shohei Ohtani as well.
Dodgers get swept over the weekend by the Red Sox, and they still, by the way, have a 10-game lead in that division, and they've added Tarek Skubal. So good luck rest of the National League West and certainly the rest of the National League writ large. Maybe some teams got better in the American League. You would think that the Rays got better by getting Freddy Peralta out of New York from the Mets, and really not a big haul to get him back as a potential rental. And then Luis Castillo, surprising move for some, going from Seattle to the White Sox to the South Side. And Kevin Gausman went late last night from the reigning defendings, at least in the American League pennant last year, the Rays. He was the game one starter in the World Series. He goes to the North Side of Chicago. So some big right-handed arms, Jensen, that traded places last night.
Yeah, I like the acquisition for both the Rays and the White Sox. I had said I would love to see Kevin Gausman there on the south side, but I think they get the right guy too, and Luis Castillo, and really didn't give up much outside of Sir Anthony Dominguez. But I think that the Peralta one, and we always look at certain organizations that have been really good on the pitching development side and where their scouting departments may have identified, in this case, the Rays, may have identified something about Freddie Peralta that created the issues that he had with the Mets this year. And for a rental price, think they can get him right here in a couple of weeks' time for that stretch run and what they hope is a long run into the American League postseason. It is pretty wide open, though, and still a lot that I think is going to happen. I think we're in for a crazy day of deals, Dave. It may not be the massive names, but I think we're going to see a lot of people changing places here, not only in the late afternoon, but I think right up until that 6 p.m. Eastern deadline.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that because, by the way, it was Gausman was game two last year in that World Series. I believe it was game one in the ALCS, but still, you're getting one of those guys that's been pitching in meaningful games here in the World Series and the Championship League Series just a year ago. The Phillies, very quiet so far, Jensen. We talked about them a lot last week. Are they one of the teams that you expect to make multiple moves today?
I think they would have to at least go get a bat somewhere. And I don't know where that's going to be, but that is probably priority 1A. I'm interested to see, now that we've seen some of the other moves on some starting pitching, like for instance, the Braves went and got Tyler Mahle yesterday from the Giants. I'm wondering, you know, does a Reed Detmers make sense for the Philadelphia Phillies in their rotation? Just again, another guy to lengthen it out there. He can be a swing man too, if you want him into the bullpen. A couple of different ways they can be creative there. But I'd be interested where some of those remaining starting pitching candidates go, some of the offensive reinforcements. There's not a ton of them available, but definitely if I'm Philadelphia, it has to be at least a bat and maybe a back-end rotation reinforcement arm.
Yeah, you see the Braves making moves, obviously the Dodgers making moves, even the Brewers making some smaller moves too. Like Philadelphia, if you're going to be in that big four, you better get out there and be active today. I know their fan base is looking for that as well. Hey, it's a big day here at the network. Our college football betting guide is available right now for VSiN Pro subscribers. So if you're not a subscriber, by the way, you can start right now. $9.99 would be that intro offer, and that would get you into be able to see and view this masterpiece. Jensen, it's out right now. We've been perusing it through the show as best we can. I know a lot of love for Notre Dame out there. And you stand alone with Ohio State. I kind of like that. I'm surprised you're the only one that has Ohio State to win the whole thing.
We do have five of our hosts slash analysts that submitted selections for not only the conference champions, but also for the national title winners. And yes, I am one of those. The right now, the short shot on the board, my Ohio State Buckeyes, that is my selection. I have Ohio State over Texas. They will play on a regular season field. For those of you that watched Notre Dame and Miami head-to-head last year and all the consternation about what that's why we play the games. That is how you find your way in. It's not just some resume where, you know, that you think is going to be the most deciding factor. I am interested. There are a couple out there, Dave, of our people here at the network that, they swung big. They definitely swung big on the national championship pick. So highly encourage, if you're not a VSiN Pro subscriber, VSiN.com/subscribe, as little as $9.99 right now to get access to our college football betting guide live this morning. 340 pages of glory, my friend. And it is, get yourself a beverage to sit down and be able to peruse through this. It's going to take you a few days. No doubt about it.
Unlike the NFL, and that betting guide, by the way, is available too right now, the NFL betting guide. We'll give you a revised version of that too as well. That'll be coming up in a little bit. But in that one, I've fired a lot already with a lot of preseason picks. Not a lot in college football for me. I've got one silver bullet theory, if you will, in college football. I'm not going to tell you what that is today. You got to get that, become a VSiN Pro subscriber and check that in there. But we'll talk about that as we get closer and closer to the regular season. We're getting closer and closer to NFL football. Again, Marty Herney will be on the program later on today. Hall of Fame game is on Thursday, and we're seeing right now low totals. You could expect 36.5 in that one for the Panthers, about 1.5 favorites here over The Arizona Cardinals. We'll find out exactly what these rosters look like. This is not normally, Jensen, an area where I'm going to be betting it. We do have experts here on the network that love to bet the preseason. They're going to find those angles for you. So that's why we're very football friendly here. If you want to bet this and bet the preseason, we got experts in that field as well. I don't know exactly what I'll be looking for. I'll just be excited that football is back. And I guess the rookies is what I'd look at here for Arizona and Carolina. We'd expect them to get the majority of the run here on Thursday night.
Absolutely. The fact that it's back, we'll talk with Marty Herney, kind of what you take out of these first weeks of preseason games and what positional battles that you'd be looking at. Of course, your second and third stringers get these early couple of weeks is an opportunity to showcase before you start those cutdowns. And, you know, Dave, we're almost there, my friend. With the college betting guide coming out, you're a handful of weeks away from going over to Ireland for TCU and North Carolina. We get actual real pigskin boot to the ball in just about 4 days' time.
Let's go. We'll see if those numbers change as the week goes as well. Michael Thorbjornsson winning at Detroit yesterday in the Rocket Classic now has as many wins on the PGA Tour this year as Scottie Scheffler. Yeah, they both won once. Now, a little bit different in the overall resume, but it's another one of those young guns, another one of those Americans. We talked a lot about Michael Thorbjornsson here as the year has gone on. And boy, did he do it in emphatic fashion yesterday, Jensen. And I thought what was interesting, too, this is coming off the heels now of Jackson Koivun winning last week in just his third PGA start, and now Michael Thorbjornsson winning for another young American here in his first foray here to win on the PGA Tour. We talk about Scotty turning 30. We're not aging out any of these guys, but Jensen, the young kids are arriving very quickly here, at least stateside, on the PGA Tour.
They certainly are. We'll see what happens. Hey, last elevated event, at least in name, here for the foreseeable future, too.
Coming up, then we get to the FedEx Cup playoffs. When we come back, more Brewers talk. Why couldn't they get a guy like Tarek Skubal? And do they have enough to compete? Still, we'll discuss next right here. Easton by the Books. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
The wait is over, college football fans, because our betting guide right here at the network is out this morning. You sign up for VSiN Pro today, you're going to get instant access to our college football betting guide. It features previews of all 138 FBS teams, our preseason top 50 power ratings, proven betting systems, and best bets from some of VSiN's sharpest minds out there. Plus, you're going to get our NFL betting guide, the Fantasy Life Fantasy Football Guide, daily best bets, real-time betting splits, AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. You can start today for just $9.99 or get that full year and save 50% off a VSiN Pro annual subscription. All you got to do is head over to VSiN.com/subscribe right now. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. Now, I do believe that Joe Friso, our esteemed producer, is giving us in real time that the White Sox have just got, hey, Oscar Brazelbon from my Metropolitans, and he's had a really good year in New York. And the Mets are going to get back some prospects here. Gabe Davis, Zach Franklin. And so the White Sox, this is from Jim Bowden, by the way. We're going to hear from Jim a little bit later on in this program, too. But, Jensen, what do you make of that on the short term here? Because Brazelbon has been a really good reliever for the Mets, one of their few bright spots to go along with Luke Weaver in the back end of that bullpen.
Yeah, beautiful addition, right? So Seranthi Domínguez out to Seattle to get Luis Castillo. Well, they go right back and basically plug, if not improve, that spot vacated from Dominguez with Waskar Brazuban, a really good power right-hander who's going to slot in really well, setting up for Grant Taylor. Sean Newcomb, of course, along with Brian Hudson, there are two lefties there, and then Jordan Hicks, who has been just a revelation for them, has been nearly unhittable the last couple of weeks there. So good deep bullpen. That's how you win in October, Dave. You generate swing and miss, especially from your power leverage relievers. Good trade here for the White Sox, and the Mets will get a couple of prospects going back there from the Southsiders.
Actually, Jensen, nice scoop by you. You got that up there from your buddy Jim Bowden. And by the way, Jim gave the White Sox a B, and for David Stearns and the Mets, he gave him a C-. Can we win any trades, Jensen? Can the Mets and David Stearns win one trade in the last 2 years?
I think they'll be honest, and I'm not saying because it's you, but I think the Luke Weaver trade will get them a pretty nice haul. I really do. Just knowing what certain clubs will pay for back end leverage relievers. If Maury Hone doesn't go today from the San Diego Padres, you know, Luke Weaver is probably that one other setup guy slash closer that some club will probably pay pretty handsomely for.
You know, when you get to the point, Jensen, where you're just exhausted talking about a team, or that's where Met fans are right now with David Stearns and the Metropolitans, just exhausted by losing every single trade seemingly out there. At least that's what the grades are. Oh, let's talk more about some of the trades and the big one that happened over the weekend here with Tarek Skubal and what that means for everybody else in the National League. That's where we begin today's edition of the Daily Diamond. Okay, we know what it means for the Dodgers going for the three-peat. They're odds on to win the pennant. They're just over, plus $1.50 to win the World Series. I mean, ridiculous prices that we're seeing out there, but you can understand it when you add a guy like Tarek Skubal to the front end of your rotation. Now, what does it mean for the other teams that didn't get a Skubal, right? And we're kind of looking at the Brewers. We'll talk about the Phillies, the Braves, those other teams in the mix here in the National League that we think could be the obvious challengers to LA in pursuit of that three-peat. Trevor Megill, very talented right-hander we know for the Milwaukee Brewers, had some very interesting comments once this deal was made official with Skubal going to the Dodgers.
I don't think anybody's surprised he went there. You know, when they came out the other day and said they're going to be greedy, you know, I think the whole world can take that serious, and that they would probably make that happen. So I don't think anybody's shocked about that. The talks, you know, we just joke around with mock trades here and there, but, you know, it's our job just to play baseball and the team they give us and the guys in this room. So, you know, we've seen Matt here, you know, a lot in the last couple of days. I'm sure he's pretty busy, but, yeah, we're just being patient, seeing what happens. And if not, let's just go with what we got.
And if not, just go with what we got. That sounds a little gallows humorish there, which I miss in my Marine Corps days because some of the things you say there with your brethren, right? You're going to go to battle with your guys. And, yeah, you'd like to have more reinforcements sometimes. And so parallel worlds there a little bit here. But I understand what he's saying, Jensen. Hey, it'd be nice if you gave us reinforcements. But when the Dodgers say the Dodgers are going to do, then they go out and do it. So they are not surprised in that clubhouse. I'm sure they're not surprised in other major league clubhouses here, Jensen. When you hear that and then you go, all right, well, this is the deck and it might be stacked against us a little bit here, but we're going to play the hand that's dealt to us here. What do you think the collective, I guess, regrouping is for the other teams that lost out in the potential Skubal sweepstakes?
Well, again, there's still plenty of reinforcements out there, not on the level of a Tarek Skubal per se, but there are opportunities. And on the starting pitching market, you're going to have to pay through the nose for some of the controllable guys. You know, you think of Seattle and George Kirby is a name that has surfaced here alongside Emerson Hancock. Those are two names that have been bandied about. Cade Anderson, who is the top pitching prospect in baseball, not a matter of if, matter of when he's up this year. And that's kind of the idea. First trading Luis Castillo, and then maybe if one of the other guys goes, that creates an instant rotation spot. But again, you don't want to just offload a ton of starting pitching resources because injuries certainly a part of this spot in the year, and you're not able to acquire anything if an injury occurs after the deadline. Dave, I wanted to read this to you because you know everyone is talking about the Skubal trade to the Dodgers. Oh, it's going to be a lockout. We're not going to see any baseball next year. And Bryce Harper, I believe, was talking, I don't know if it was this year or in you know the recent couple of months, where when you remember the late 90s, and you know that was when the Yankee dynasty was out there. They won four World Series in 5 years, and it didn't seem, and maybe you can tell me more so, because I was a young lad at that point, not paying attention to what was being said in the media. But we didn't really hear too much then about, oh, we need a salary cap, this, that, and the other. This was George Steinbrenner just saying, hey, I expect to win every year, and I'm going to do whatever I have to do to win every year. The Dodgers have done a really good job in the last decade. Yes, do they have a revenue share exploitation because of the change in ownership and how that whole thing went down legally? Yes, they do. But what else have they done, Dave? They've perfected their farm system. They're able to deal from depth. And if they overvalue some prospects that other teams are like, oh yeah, we think they're better than what they really are, that's part of it. We see bad trades all the time in football, in basketball. This happens. But year in and year out, every fan base, and I'll credit Jim Bowden because I heard him saying it yesterday on MLB Network Radio when I was driving home with Michelle, and he said, every fan base, if you're a Dodger fan, you love your front office. You love your ownership group. Why? Because they're trying to win every year. They're not like, you know, if we're going to wait for 2027, I don't think we can run it back this year. Yeah, guys are getting a little bit older. No, they're going for it every year. They are sending prospects for proven players. That's how you win. If your prospects end up hitting, great. But when you have guys that have proven at the big league level and are some of the best in a game, you go get them. That's how you win. This isn't rocket science. This isn't because of a salary cap, at least on the trade front. Now, I get the whole free agency side of it, and that's a separate argument. Right. But as far as this trade and at this deadline, you can't convince me that other teams who are contenders couldn't have put up a far better deal to try and get Tarek Skubal on their team.
You know, it's ironic, and I really am showing my age, but there were those discussions around the Yankees and those teams in specifics. You mentioned, like, you know, go out and get a Reggie Jackson. I remember in the 80s with Danny Tartable came over from the Royals, and that was like such a big deal. It didn't pan out. They didn't win. But because they didn't win enough in the 80s, they still spent the money. Like, George still spent, and you knew if you're a free agent that George had the best chance to get you, even the Ricky Hendersons in the day. He came to New York for a while. So you saw that in the George Steinbrenner era. So it did exist, Jensen, but not to this degree. And I think now with the landscape, the way it's changed, and because the Dodgers are now winning, hey, if the Dodgers hadn't won back-to-back World Series, maybe the talk dies down a little bit and becomes almost a punchline. You spend all the money and yet you don't win. That kind of became the Yankees a little bit in the 80s. Then they flipped their fortunes again in the 90s, as we all saw towards the back end of that decade. But it is with the winning. And I think that's where people now start to say, this is unfair. So it really is in that context now that they go, man, if they win a three-peat, we got to do something to stop the current system. Is that really fair to the Dodgers that have been going with, you know, they've been, yes, they extend these contracts and they defer these payments forever. Well, other teams could do that too. They just choose not to. So I don't want to get on the Dodgers too much for competing and winning at the highest level under the current system. They change it, that's what the debate's going to be in the entirety of the offseason. But it did actually exist, maybe not to this degree, back with the Yankees and George Steinbrenner. Let's talk some football. Marty Herney is going to come back with us here on the very next segment. Yeah, we've got the Hall of Fame game coming up on Thursday, but we're really already looking ahead to week one and beyond. Can't wait to pick his brain on teams he might like as well. Some NFL talk with Marty Herney, RGM. It's next right here on Visa by the Books.
You're tuned in to Visa by the Books right here on Visa.
We are back, VSIN by the Books. Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis here. Going to talk to Marty Herney later on this morning. And then Peter Apple is going to join the program as well to talk all things trade deadline here, Jensen. Well, even during the break, been getting a lot of messages on social media about the Metropolitans and kind of lack of winning some of these trades. You talked about it, that maybe they should be able to win the Luke Weaver trade. That trade is going to come today at some point, and we'll figure out exactly what that is. Now, We're talking more about Tarek Skubal in that deal. And your buddy Jim Bowden, I covered him back in his D.C. days. He had a lot of things to say about this as well. And I want to start the discussion there in today's edition of the Daily Docket.
Your snapshot of odds, trends, and futures. This is the Daily Docket.
Okay, so you made this point earlier in the program, and I think it bears repeating before we hear from Jim Bowden kind of in this context. From a former GM, and now you obviously being a former player, so you guys have a unique perspective on this, that maybe with the Tarek Skubal deal, in some corners and circles, they're going, it's exactly what we wanted to have happen. Like, Jensen, can you explain that mentality of to how this could be exactly the impetus that certain other owners need to go for a lockout, whatever you want to call it, strike, whatever this is going to be for potential baseball Armageddon?
Yeah, if for anyone that hasn't watched on MLB.tv, there are commercials, or as I like to call it as a former player, propaganda of fans having comments about, oh, we need a cap, we need fairness, we need competitive balance. I'm like, you people were given a script. This is really fabricated. And I think it's hysterical. Some of the fans are in Dodger caps, Mets, Yankees. Like, come on, you are not the affected people or fan bases. Let's just get that out of the way. A lot of it is predicated on revenue share, Dave, and teams that generate more revenue will have the opportunity to spend more. That's where kind of the fall off is. Now, I'm not going to let owners slide here. They are all billionaires. That's with a B, Dave. They have the money. Some of them choose to spend, some of them don't. And we have said on the Players Association side, boy, I think the fans would really love to know how much of revenue is reinvested into payroll. And I think that would shock a lot of fan bases about which teams pocket the money and which teams do not.
All right, let's hear from the former GM, Jim Bowden, about that very conversation with the Tarek Skubal deal now being done and what this could mean for the future.
This is exactly why Major League Baseball owners want to put a hard cap into the next collective bargaining agreement. They want the same systems that we're seeing in the NFL, the NBA, and the NHL to prevent this from happening, quite frankly. And I think this particular trade, it's just going to make matters worse. There's a lot of owners that are going to be willing to shut the game down in 2027, literally, if it means to get a system where one team can't just go out and get all the best players because they have more money than you do.
So there it is, kind of in plain speak there from Jim and from you, Jensen, here in the program, from a player and from a former GM in the league. Can you even begin, because we've been kidding throughout the show during the breaks here about how the lawyers are going to have a field day here when we get to these talks, right? It is going to be about the legality, about some of what baseball would be able to do versus what the Players Association is going to push back on. And I know that in the NFL, we're going to talk to Marty Herney in the next segment, not about this in particular when it comes to the NFLPA and the owners themselves, but they seem to always, yes, they've had football issues before, they've had lockouts before, they've had strike shortened seasons, but it never feels like that they get to the Armageddon stage that baseball seems to walk to the brink. How close of a walk are we going to be getting there in this offseason?
Oh, we're there. It's happening. The lockout is happening. Now, I've always told you that the lockout is a negotiating tactic. And so the owners are going to lock out the players, and that's going to create what you would hope would be urgency, or at least that's where the owners are going to put the players on the clock. And that's why I think once you get that expiration December 1st, it's a matter of how many games do you miss? And we do have thresholds, Dave, or at least checkpoints in a shortened spring training. Remember, we did this in COVID where it was the 60-game season. What did we say? It was a 3, maybe 4-week onboarding there for spring training 2.0 to get guys ready to go for a shortened season. That will be what we watch, because I don't think we're getting really any momentum, any cognizant movement that would give us optimism before the first of the year. If we do, that will be a Christmas gift to everybody, but I just don't see it. So then you fast forward to right around Valentine's Day, and ironically, that'll be the Super Bowl. So I think after that is when you start drilling down on how much time we'll miss. If there isn't really anything that you can sink your teeth into for both sides to be making their way towards each other, that's when you start looking at missing, you know, months of games at a time, because the Players Association is going to want a fair amount of ramp up time. We're not just going to like throw this thing together and then have guys risk injury in a shortened season. That'll be a whole nother discussion down the line, but let's face it. It is about the cap. It is about having a hard cap. And right now we have sort of a soft cap day because the luxury tax and the different thresholds there, that's been the penalty right now where those upper echelon revenue teams have been paying back because they've gone over those certain levels. So I think that's the bigger crux, is that you don't utter the word salary cap around the Players Association. It's a non-starter for them, which is why you're going to see the lockout not only happen, but I think drag out for quite some time.
We need to bookmark some of these conversations. You've been very, very consistent on this, even before the season began, looking into next year already. So I know a lot of people bury their head in the sand. They don't want to hear this stuff. They don't want to think about that. And then all of a sudden, we're going to be at the Super Bowl in February, and they're going to go, hey, when's baseball start? Oh, it might not be starting for a while. So, God, I hope you're wrong, but I don't think you are, my man. And that's going to be we're going to walk that plank again with Major League Baseball. Like for some of us of a certain age, we remember 1994 oh too well. And we could really be getting back to that part of things here in 2027 if we're not careful. We're going to talk a lot of football. Mondays with Marty is going to be here. Marty Herney is going to join us in the very next segment. Get his thoughts. Cannot wait to talk to Marty and pick his brain as a former GM in this league. Here was an interesting comment that I wanted you to hear from not the first string guy in Tennessee, not the second string guy in Tennessee, but the third string guy in Tennessee. Remember Will Levis? Yeah, he's still on the roster, okay? And he had a lot to say, ironically, for a third-string quarterback, at least in the depth chart behind Cam Ward right now. And even right now, Mitchell Trubisky is ahead of him on the depth chart in Tennessee. Here's what Will Levis said about his future in this league.
I'm just trying to be the best version of me at this point, and I have more confidence than I've ever had because of that. I don't need to go out there and win X amount of games before I can feel the confidence. Like, I have the confidence right now. I know I've put the tape out there already that I'm a dang good quarterback in this league, and I'm even better than I ever have been. So,
the faith that you have a future as a starter in this league?
100%. I know I'm, I think I'm there are not 32 quarterbacks in this league better than me. I know that for sure.
Okay. Well, look, I love the confidence. I absolutely love the confidence. It's exactly what I would want to hear from my third string quarterback. If you know this, and you know this, Jensen. Normally don't put third string quarterbacks at the podium. That's normally something for us in the business. That's in a locker room setting and you get a one-on-one. And then he says those comments and make more sense. You're putting him up there at the podium, which is very odd for a guy that's third string in your depth chart. You're going to see a lot of Will Levis in the preseason. Hey, he still believes it. And there's a reason why he was drafted as highly as he was out of Kentucky. What do you make of that? He doesn't believe there are 32 better quarterbacks in the league. There's a starting quarterbacks in the NFL. At least he, Will Levis, still sees himself as a starter, if not in Tennessee, somewhere else.
Is he even better than Mitchell Trubisky, who's on the roster in front of him? And now, I mean, I don't even want to start any discussions about him being better than Cam Ward, because we know that's false. Again, I can appreciate it from the athlete side. You got to believe it. I just don't know if I would be that outward about it. And again, that's an awkwardness. This is a great conversation with Marty Herney coming up. Okay, that's out there. And hey, we're all competitors when we get in that quarterback room. But that's like me coming out and calling out my closer and just basically saying, yeah, I should be getting the ninth inning opportunities. You know, what I do in the sixth and seventh inning is as good as any guy in the ninth inning. It's a little bit different. And I'm kind of anxious to see, you know, what that fallout is. But right now, I think the pecking order is correct on the depth chart. Cam Ward is my quarterback for that franchise moving forward. Again, if he's the worst, then Will Levis has got a long way to go.
I tell you, the guy that must love to hear that is Mike Borgonzi, the GM of the Titans. Because if I'm looking to move him, maybe I can get his value up, because we're talking him up. Will Levis, the great Will Levis, go get him. He's a starting quarterback for you, because he's not going to be a starting quarterback for me. And by the way, I've got tickets on this football team. Those are predicated on Cam Ward playing quarterback and not Will Levis. No disrespect to Will out there, Jensen, but I'm not cashing those tickets, or at least I'm not going to feel confident if it's the other way around. Marty Verney is going to join the program next. Cannot wait to get his thoughts here as we're getting oh so close here to preseason football beginning on Thursday and then the real regular season just down the road. That's next right here on VSiN by the Books.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
$30 million in guaranteed prizes. Cash in this football season in Las Vegas with three Circus Sports contests. Entries starting at $1,000, all with no rake. That means every dollar stays in the prize pool. Circa Million, 18 weeks, 128 ways to win. Circa Survivor, pick one winner every week. Last one standing wins the pot. And how about Circa Grandissimo for the high rollers out there? $100,000 in entry. Enter in Nevada. Play from anywhere in this great country of ours. $30 million guaranteed. Visit circusports.com for all of the details. Dave Ross, Jensen Lewis coming at you here on this Monday morning. We look forward to our Mondays with Marty. Marty Herney, our GM here at the network, is back with us, co-host of the GM Shuffle podcast on DraftKings Network. Got a new segment coming out here and a new show coming out for the GM Shuffle as well, and joins us now on the Progressive Guest Line. Good Monday morning to you, Marty. You know Jensen and I get excited when you're in the program because that means we're talking NFL football here on our show. We've got the Hall of Fame game coming up on Thursday. What are GMs, what are coaches specifically looking for in these games, Marty? I know it's preseason, and it's really changed a lot in recent years, almost the de-emphasis on getting guys out there for injury concerns and that sort of thing. What exactly are you looking to get out of the actual preseason games themselves?
Yeah, you're really – so other preseason games, other teams, you're chomping at the bit to get the tape in of the Hall of Fame because you want to start looking at preseason games and you've got guys at the bottom of the roster marked off, okay? Do these guys have a chance to be on the waiver wire on the cut, and are we interested? You know, do they feel a need that we have? So you and your scouts are combing through all the preseason tape as it comes in, watching the third, fourth quarters of it, watching the backups and the guys you think are going to be on the waiver wires. So that's number one. Number two, you're obviously have your emergency list ready, but every day you wake up in training camp and cross your fingers and say, let's just stay healthy, okay? Because we've done all this work in the offseason. Let's stay healthy. But if we're not, we have numbers at positions we have to have. So you have a list, an emergency list, which is hard because there's not a lot of guys left out on the street, but you have an emergency list in case an injury comes up and you can bring them in. But the biggest thing right now is just, it's really staying healthy, execution. You know, coaches want to see done things clean and time in the meeting rooms, but that the preseason tape is invaluable, especially for the guys that are on the bubble, because everybody in the league is watching.
Yeah, I agree. And Marty, let me follow up on that, because the injury issues, Dave and I just talked about the Ricky Pearsall news out in San Francisco. I mean, they got to bring in Debo Samuel to come back to get a healthy body in there. Obviously, we'll ask you about A.J. Brown, the new dynamic there with Drake May. And I know you had said that onboarding you don't think will take too long. Let me give you those two situations to start, because you mentioned the emergency list. What is John Lynch doing now this week already with a lot of attrition on both sides of the football?
Yeah, and you know, you hate to say it, but if it's going to happen, this is probably the better time, just because there is a Debo Samuel out there you can go get. When these things happen, you know, week three, week four, your answer is already either on your roster or on the practice squad, most likely. That there's not a lot of options out there. So, you know, the bad thing is that it happened, that the good thing, if there is a good thing, is it happened early enough where it does give you time. But the deeper we get into this thing, the less options there are. That's why, you know, you're drafting, you're signing a rookie free agents, the young players, the formation, the putting together of the practice squad are all very important, because that's where you're injured. That's where your injury replacements are coming from.
Marty, I want to go back to not even a year ago now, and you can go back to this date a year ago, and Malik Willis was still on the Tennessee Titans, and he was traded the last week of August last year to Green Bay for a seventh round pick. And now a year later, he's got a three-year deal for $67.5 million, and he's a starting quarterback in Miami. I mean, it is insane when you kind of think of it in that context for a full year. We just played some comments from Will Levis, who kind of finds himself in the Malik Willis spot from a year ago, who's down in the depth chart, third string, you know, fighting for a roster spot really at this stage here, Marty. Can you really find guys like that, like Malik Willis here at this time of the year, as you say, kind of combing the rosters of other teams to say, maybe I can get that guy for a real late draft pick and see if I can turn them into something?
Yeah, I mean, you can do that. And I don't know whether it works a lot. Malik Willis and Will Levis are two different people, I think. I mean, Malik Willis was a guy who people were really excited about. There was a while he was talked about in the top five. I was at his pro day. Mm-hmm. It was packed. He is an electric athlete that I think once he got to Green Bay and what he showed when he got his time there, I am really excited about Malik Willis. I think he has a chance to be a good quarterback. I like what Miami's doing. I thought that was really the move of the offseason because, you know, if you can get a guy like that for nothing – that has a chance, and Malik Willis has the skill set. Listen, he was inexperienced. He needed experience. He needed play time. He needed what he got in the NFL, and especially in Green Bay. So I think that was a great move. I'm really excited to see that. Miami's one of the teams I'm really interested in watching. But there's not a lot. You're not going to get a lot of opportunities. You sound like a coach coming in. Well, listen, Miami got Malik Willis, why don't we go get this guy? Well, they're different guys. It's just because one guy's out there, one bargain's out there, doesn't mean there's a lot more.
That team that the Dolphins will be taking on, Marty, the Raiders. And speaking of quarterbacks, Kirk Cousins going to get a chance again to prove that he's the man. Of course, what a great mentor for Fernando Mendoza to have as the number one overall pick. With the new head coach and new quarterback, that's part of where I wanted to kind of pick your brain here, Marty. Clint Kubiak coming in, we know what he did with Sam Darnold and leading him and helping him get to a prominent spot here with Seattle winning the Super Bowl. What does that dynamic look like now day-to-day in the first handful of weeks, getting in the building the way Clint Kubiak wants to do it, a veteran in Kirk Cousins? What can we expect with that maturation as early as this preseason and into the first couple of weeks of the regular season?
It really is the perfect scenario because not only do you have a head coach who's one of the best top play callers, offense coordinators in the league, you have a veteran quarterback who now is in and knows the system extremely well and can help the young quarterback. And really there's not a lot of pressure. And, you know, if Kirk Cousins starts and they wait until week 8 or week 9 to bring the rookie in, you know, it just depends how things go early, but it's the old school mentality of you don't have to rush him out there right away. And I think the fact that he's got Clint Kubiak, he's got Kirk Cousins there, he's just going to be a sponge. So he is just coming in every day and learning, keeping his eyes open, his ears open, seeing, you know, learning everything around him. And I think it's just going to make him a much better quarterback.
By the way, that was music to my ears about the Dolphins, because that's one of the play-on teams for me this year, Marty. I'm really excited for Malik down there. And I know people in Vegas are excited about their football team as well. We mentioned with the veteran and the young quarterback. There's a couple other teams out there that feel like they have legit quarterback competitions going on. One team I'm really excited about is the Falcons. And then I hear Tua's dinged up already. He's going to be on the shelf here for a week. And you're waiting on Michael Penix Jr. to come back with a leg injury. You got to sign Cooper Rush off the street a little bit. Should I be more concerned about what Kevin Stefanski and what they've got going on down there in the ATL and what that quarterback room looks like?
I don't know whether you should be more concerned or should have been less excited about watching that matchup. I don't know. Atlanta is one of these teams that just baffles me. You know, the fact that Tua is injured is not a surprise. You know, Michael Penix has a lot of questions to him. I don't know where they have a quarterback there on the roster. I think that they did a great job of drafting offensive talent, but it's just we haven't seen everything come together. This is the first year of Kevin Stefanski. It's going to be very interesting to see how they do. I still think they have some questions on defense, depth questions, so it'll be interesting to see. But, you know, the old saying, if you have two quarterbacks, you don't have any. And I think right now that quarterback competition in Atlanta is going to be interesting for me to watch.
Yeah, that is an old axiom. I remember that even with Steve Walsh and Troy Aikman, Marty. They had to move one of those guys out of town. They moved out Steve Walsh, and they kept the other guy, and they won a couple, three Super Bowls. Marty, great stuff, man. I am so excited for the regular season to get your insight each and every week. And again, everybody, check out the GM Shuffle podcast on DraftKings Network, and a new episode will be debuting, I do believe, today. So that's going to be very exciting. Yes. Marty, appreciate you on a Monday. We'll be doing this all year long, and I can't wait to have these conversations. When we come back, we're going to talk some more football as well. We're going to talk about the New York Football Giants and what John Harbaugh has in store for year number one. That's all straight ahead right here on VSiN by the Books.